Welcome to Enlightenment of Change with Connie Whitman of Whitman & Associates. Here's Connie.
Hi, I'm Connie Whitman, your host, and you're listening to Enlightenment of Change on webtalkradio.net. As always, thank you so much for joining me. So I'm going to start with my quote, which is by Catherine Payne. And Catherine says, "The moment you make a mistake in pricing, you're eating into your reputation or your profits." Now, when I started my business 20 years ago, I had no idea how to price anything. I didn't have an idea of how to write a proposal, right? Or to spotlight the value the client would get if they hired me. So it was really scary initially because you're out there and you're like, well, what do I do now? So the little voice in your head, and I know it could be very loud at times, it was screaming at me and it kept telling me you should discount your prices because I had just started my business. And you know what? And I bet that sounds familiar to everybody listening who started a business at some point. The reality, though, is in a few years, once you feel more confident, what happens? We increase our prices. So what is the good starting point? And are we leaving money on the table? Are we undervaluing ourselves because of our own mindset and rhetoric in our head? And the funny thing is, when I started my business, right, 20 years ago, I had already been in sales 20 years. So discounting my knowledge, I had 20 years of experience. So again, be careful when that fear of rejection maybe comes in, or the imposter syndrome. And again, for me, it's just my own little negative record player that loves to play. So what did I do? I sought help from another business owner. I was introduced to, how do I price it? How do I set my proposal up? Ask for help. And this is one of my favorite topics still to this day, even though I'm being a sales expert, leaving money on the table and serving our clients to the fullest ability, right, is not an option for me. It's my responsibility. And that's the thing I want you to think about when you start pricing. So of course, I have a guest today who's about mindset and pricing and making sure that we're living up to our value, but we're also delivering and getting paid for our worth. And my guest is Brad Kruger. Now, Brad is the founder of Success Beyond Luck, which champions the success of entrepreneurs and freelancers who provide unique and creative services. Now, in his free time, Brad enjoys cooking. I'm going to hire him because I hate cooking, hiking, entertaining guests, and with his husband, Gilbert. So please help me welcome my wonderful new friend I've known a couple of months, Brad, to the show. So Brad, thanks for being on.
Thanks, Connie. So glad to be here. Thanks for the introduction.
Yeah, this is important. This is an important topic, right? That whole self-worth, I think it comes down to, and the negative record player, I think is really loud for folks, right? So in what ways does that little voice in our head actually end up costing us money? And I know you see this with your clients all the time.
Yeah, there's just so many. It's so common that we self-sabotage ourselves in many different ways. I mean, pricing is just one pretty clear example for most people of how we put money on the table and then we get up and we walk away from it, leaving it there for someone else to come and get it and use it instead of us. And that's just all too common. You know, I see it often with the great entrepreneurs, freelancers that I work with, just in we have fears in that we don't provide any value. Like you said, you have 20 years of experience in sales when you first started your business. I mean, that's a huge amount of investment in the training and experience, 20 years of your life. That's a huge amount of value. Yet it's so common that we underestimate that value and judge ourselves that we don't have value. And also I see that, you know, clients say, you know, people aren't going to like us. I want people to like us, so I can't charge that much. Or the client doesn't have enough money. They don't have that much money, so I can't charge them that much money. We're judging our clients. You know, just some examples from my own clients that I've worked with that I've seen this, and it's been so powerful to see their improvement and how they've, you know, as far as their personal life, if they can start charging the real value, because the people I often work with, they have high expectations for their services. I mean, they're providing like you, your intro and how you, your mindset that you have about your own services, that you go the extra mile for your clients. You under promise, over deliver. You know how to wow your clients. And I love working with those people. Because often there's so much value. Yet, like one of my clients, he's one of those people that would go to the grocery store and bring a bunch of coupons and get a whole cart of groceries for free. He's just talented in that way. Yet he works in senior care with with clients. He provides extremely specialized, great services, huge quality of life for his seniors that he works with. As far as, they don't care about the money. They have the financial resources. They have limited amount of time in their lives. They love to, you know, just think about that. You have the money but no one is around to go enjoy it with you. It'd be really powerful to have somebody that can make all these opportunities available to you, whether you want to go to the museum, you want to go out for dinner, all these sorts of things he brings to life. Yet he was always projecting onto his clients that I got to save them money. I need to, it's like going to a fancy restaurant and saying, hey, you know, you could order the prime rib or the filet. And if you share it, it would be half the price. Why don't you share it with your partner and you save some money when someone's going to a fancy restaurant? And it's just sort of the client doesn't care about the money. It's about the value. And again, it's this example of self-sabotaging. It's not the client that's saying, I won't pay for this. It's in our own heads that we're saying we won't pay for the client won't pay for this. But the client won't like me for it.
It's our rhetoric, though. It's not the client saying that, we're projecting. And then I had one client, it was so funny. And I recorded her and she literally said and it was one of my corporate clients. And she said we were role playing, right? And she said, you're not interested, are you? On the phone to the client at the end. And when I showed her what she had said, she goes, that's what I say at the end. She didn't even realize it. Yeah. It was her own projection. Well, you're not interested, are you? And so the funny thing is the client would say, I guess not. Like, you're telling me I shouldn't be. So it's that projection. And we do that on the subconscious level, whether we're realizing it or not.
Yeah.
Where do you think you think it's fear driven? Do you think it's a habit? Like, what do you, like with that example, right? You have these seniors, they have the money, they're lonely. His service will give them this beautiful quality of life, right? Going to museums or whatever, if they're capable of doing that. And the money isn't an issue when he's telling them, yeah, money's an issue. Like, is it fear? Is it our own projection? Like, what do you see with your clients? Because that's a great example.
Yeah. I see it as a lot of fear-based responses. We don't think of it as fear, but we are fear for that example I shared of serving senior clients. I fear them not doing business with me anymore, or that they're not going to like me or talk to other people negatively about me. They won't like me. That's just one specific aspect of it. There are others, though. I mean, I may fear one client that his motivation or fear, so to speak, of not charging reasonable prices was just safety and security. He didn't want to take a chance. I mean, this is the sort of the core, like, music of fear, I guess.
Yeah.
I want to take a chance because my life might, I'm an entrepreneur. I don't have a safety net like, people that are employees at companies, and I just can't take a chance. And I need to have safety and security. I'm very vigilant about always not taking any risks. And you have to take some risks, especially in pricing, because you never know what are people willing to pay. I mean, you can't just look at what the competitors are charging, because they don't provide, hopefully, you provide different value.
Absolutely.
It's better value. And you don't want to limit yourself of just what they're charging. And with that too, I found too, so many people don't, if you're depending on who you're serving, they aren't price comparing anyway. They're not going out there and saying, I've asked my own clients, you know, how are my fees, my rates compared to other people? I have no idea.
I didn't look. I found you, right?
Yeah. Am I assuming that I'm serving clients that are price sensitive? That's another limitation, those assumptions that we make.
Humans were interesting and our brains are super interesting. So two things I want to comment on. I remember one of my clients, It sometimes it strikes you funny. It was one of my corporate clients, maybe 8 years ago. And so I come in and, you know, I do my presentation, whatever. And I was a good fit. I was the values, right? My values philosophically on sales and building relationships. It wasn't pushing products, right? I was a good match. So finally they call me back and they say, yeah, we're going with you. And I said, oh, great. And the executive said to me, you know, we've interviewed 17 other vendors. And Brent, that struck me. So usually they'll interview two or three. 17. I thought, well, they're really crossing their T's, but all right, whatever, man, it's your time. Right? And so at the end I said, well, now I'm really honored, you know, that you chose me. And it was funny because he said, most of them were cheaper than you. He says a couple were ridiculous. He said, but most of them were cheaper than you. And he said, we are willing to pay for the Mercedes Benz, right? Not the, like my son has a Hyundai, right? Not the Hyundai, right. Because we really want to create a culture. And we think you have the bandwidth to do that. Plus, our people are going to resonate with you. I was the right match for them. So again, they never asked me to discount my prices because I don't discount my prices, right? I know my value and for what you get, right? I know you're getting a bang for your bucks, right? So I believe that because my clients have told me that, but at 17 people, so you got to giggle. And when they choose you, think about how empowering that was. For them, they had even more confidence because they had compared me to these 17 other vendors and I still shined brightly. So we have to be mindful. And if they had come back and said, you know, we interviewed 17 others, but they were cheaper. So we want you, but we want you to lower your price. My response would have been, you want me? There's my price structure. I can't undervalue because I have other clients paying this. Why would I give you a discount? Now my reputation is tarnished because yeah, talk to Connie, she'll discount it, right? So you're playing with fire. So be really, really careful. Yeah. And the other thing I wanted to comment on, and I shared this, I had a coaching call yesterday, and one of my clients, architect, had a call. And when he went to do his pricing, he hesitated and almost went low, but he said he heard me in his voice saying, no, 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 put your worth. What is your worth? If this guy doesn't want to pay my value, right? He's been an architect for 30 years. So a lot of depth there. And he said he heard my voice and he went in with the price. The guy didn't even flinch. And he said afterwards, he thought, had I discounted it, I would have been leaving money on the table. And that's right. Yesterday you were at my workshop. How many times is that happening? It's exactly what you're talking about. We got to get out of our own head. So my next question, right? So much is going on with the brain science. And I know that you're very well versed in this because this is kind of where you dig in and create your magic with your clients. What are some examples of some of the brain science discoveries that's happening? Because this is a huge field that's open, I'm going to say, in the past probably 5 to 10 years, right?
Yeah. I really love the brain science of things. And I mean, just to be clear, I don't have a degree in psychology or sociology. Yeah. It's something as in business that became really evident to me that psychology, sociology, behavioral economics, there's all these different terms out there for how our minds work, the brain science. And success, I call my business Success Beyond Luck. I see this as the beyond luck part, as really of, yeah, there's a certain amount of luck in business. We need to understand people are not making rational decisions, rational economic decisions. It's not like we are all going, and that, this is where the a lot of the science has told us that, you know, people make, and you know this well from your sales expertise, buying decisions, for example, they're not rational. People are not looking at X and Y and dotting all the I's and crossing the T's. Yep. It's an emotional decision. And that is what has drawn me in to really dig in to look at it in more detail. Some of the studies, I mean, it's very broad field. And over the last 20 or 30 years, there's been several economists that have gotten Nobel Peace Prizes because of their contributions to this, because it's given us people, practitioners, not just scientists, not just people working at universities, the insight and be able to understand how the mind is playing a role in business. And that is super powerful.
Yep.
There are so many resources out there. Your examples, I love your examples. Some of them that, some of the research that I've seen that support a lot of that, There's one, I don't know if you've seen or read about how wine, if the price is higher for wine, it tastes better. So if people know the price, even if it's cheap wine, and they know the price, they will say, yes, this is better. So there was a study in 2017, and maybe I can give that to you and you can share it with in your show notes, that proved that out. That, again, when we're thinking about setting our prices, and your example of the individual that almost gave a low price and almost wasn't confident in their price, price can communicate a whole lot in itself.
Yes.
You know this well from the sales side of things. If you may give the best service ever, the highest quality service, you set a low price, and we have a natural bias. We our brain runs off of bias, truthfully. A lot of this is bias. We have so many stimuli coming in at us, millions of stimuli from our sight, sounds, touch, you know, taste, all of our senses, that our brains try to simplify the world around us. And we work off of heuristics and bias, which bias, we've often heard the term, you know, coming in, when we come into discussions of diversity, equity, and inclusion, and the whole negative bias sides of things, that also fascinates me. Being a gay male, there is bias. People can say they don't have a bias, but subconsciously they do, and their actions. Harvard has done some studies on that, will show people can say one thing, their actions are differently. Absolutely. So someone choosing to hire me, their actions will be subconsciously influenced. But the brain,
science of the brain and the discoveries. So the wine was one. Are there other studies that are recent?
The other one is just very practical, easy to understand. There was one done, I think it was in 2000, that was with a farmer's market and jams. So they put out like 20 some different flavors of jam, right? And maybe you've been to farmer's market, you can see that some vendors got all this choice out there. And again, this gets into the whole sales side as well. They found that if you put out, and you may think that you're putting out a whole bunch of things with different prices and everything, that you're serving the client better, most people will not make a decision. Again, when we think about all the stimuli coming into our brains, we're overwhelmed. And instead of just saying, I'll take this one and just going with it, we just won't make any decision. And people are far more likely to buy. Again, I'm getting into your sales side here. If you just put up two or three options out, then they're actually more, you're going to sell more because they're not overwhelmed. Again, the whole brain being overwhelmed with all the stimuli in our environment.
It's so funny because you're exactly right. And I tell people, like when I see them put their, again, we review their offers and what have you. And I go, whoa, I'm confused. I know you and I would hire you. I'm confused. You have 50 million things going on. What do we want to focus on? And here's the other thing that I'm finding with my clients. And I don't know if you're finding this with yours. They have so many great offers and they're jumbling them, confusing them, instead of let's create the offers. Okay. We can have them stand alone. We could create a package. Now talk about the benefit of the package. And then at the end, when they go, oh, yeah, that's what I need. Then you go into the details of what you're delivering, right? The details don't make the sale. The sale is you're selling the results. And my package is better. You came to me, Brad, for this, but my package is really better. So I find my clients, they have all of this great content and they're like, throw it against the wall. What do you want? And the client goes, I don't want anything, right? I'm overwhelmed. Like, I can't even see the little spaghetti that's sticking on the wall because there's 50 others. What should I look at? What do you want me to look at? So we become confused and we cause the confusion. I see that all the time. The brain can only process, and we want to make the decision easy and simple. And for the client to say, yes, I need this, or no, I don't, or I don't need it now, but maybe 3 months from now, right? But you have to be in the game and not offer too much. the research was done, and I want to say, I don't remember both scientists, but one was Diaz, D-I-A-Z, and I think he was a male. But anyway, they did testing on mice, and they threw the DNA and cherry blossoms. I don't know if you've seen that research where they did mice. They put little electrodes underneath the habitat. They put a cherry blossom in and they put a little charge. They did not hurt the mice, and the mice's heart rate would go up. Fast forward, they mated them, reiterated several generations, and they found through the research that 13 generations later, right, through the DNA, the little mice, they put them in a habitat, no charge. They put the cherry blossom in, Brad, and the little mice had a reaction. Their heart rate went up. They had never been exposed to the cherry blossom and the charge under the foot. It's so we're transmitting beliefs and biases. I love that you use that word. We don't even know they're there until all of a sudden. And I know you teach this, which I think is so important and gives us so much power in everything we do in all relationships we have. Forget about just business. But when we can start seeing our biases, because they're at the subconscious level, as soon as I can train myself to be aware of it, now I'm in control and I can make that subconscious choice or the conscious choice. Does this bias, does this belief, does this whatever serve me, protect me, whatever it is? Or where did that come from? That is such an untruth. And 90% of the time, that bias or belief from those 13 generations back aren't serving us. And as soon as we see it and realize what the bias or the belief is, now we can control it and change it. And I know you're a master at that. What are some of the, first, you want to comment? And then I have a question about some practicality.
I couldn't agree more. What are the stats that struck me that I never would have thought of in relates to the bias? Is that how much time do we spend on autopilot or subconscious mode? And I always thought I'm pretty thoughtful as a person. You know, I try to be mindful of these biases. I see where I'm being influenced.
Yeah.
And there's a podcast, the Brady Business Podcast. The host talks about 99% or 99.99% of the time we are on autopilot.
Frightening.
And it is really in where the relationship of working with someone like you, like me, that we start to become conscious of these bias and how they're actually influencing our decisions on pricing, our decisions to selling, you know, selling ourselves and our services. And it's really, really huge. We don't know what we don't know. I hate to quote the person that said that, so I won't. There's a lot of power there in becoming aware of that.
Yeah. I love that because, and I say that all the time, but mine is a little longer. I say to people, you don't know what you don't know. Once you know it, you can't unknow it, but you can choose to use that information or you could choose to ignore the information. But once you know something, you really can't unknow it. And I think sometimes when I say that people go, and I go, because here's the deal. You have blind spots. I have blind spots. We all have blind spots. If you think, oh, I know that, and you don't address it, is it a blind spot? That blind spot could be causing you time, money, disease within your relationships, right? Every conversation, you feel like you're always in an adversarial position, right? Well, why is that? We have to really stop and pause and examine where is that coming from and does it serve me? And it, you know, a lot of times we don't know how to do that. And that's why you're a master at that transformational thinking, which I think everybody needs it, Brad. So that's the funny thing. So here's my next question. I agree. You agree. The biases, the beliefs, even if we call them beliefs, the beliefs are biases, same thing, right? They're there. They're at that unconscious level. We're on autopilot. We don't know what's happening. What are practical ways that we can rein in? And it's the little voice in our head, right? We have the little voice, and we know that I think it's, we have like what, 67,000 thoughts, 80% of them are negative. Holy moly. And the next day, your thought process, 90% of your thoughts from the previous day are carried over and we repeat. We all know what that little voice is doing and they're sabotaging us, right? Yes. What are practical ways we can rein that in?
First, we really need to get conscious of that. It's beyond just getting insight into something. So often I've heard the stat that, you know, 90% of people, they'll read a book, they'll have great insights, never, ever apply it, which is, you know, really unfortunate because there's so much great knowledge out there. And we need to get beyond that into very practical. How do we actually get into our own heads and see what's going on? One way that I do that is I, you know, just reference the book, the Positive Intelligence book. It's a framework that I use with my clients, and my clients love it because, as you mentioned, and you know this, you've been through it. My clients find it helps them with their relationships, personal relationships, their business relationships. And it's all about developing. Now, the buzzwords out there are like mindfulness, right? Not everyone's really open to mindfulness and those sorts of approach. This is more of a practical approach to how do we have an operating system for our brain? Because we were never given an operating system of how it works. How do we have these little voices that sabotage us, tell us, hey, you know, don't tell them that higher price because they're not going to hire you. Don't tell them the higher price, or they don't have any money. You can't tell them that price. They don't have any money. How do we become aware of those things? And the big part is becoming more present. Again, we have the millions of stimuli coming in to us, the sight, sound, everything. We need to be able to focus in on, there's little things that we can do. And I know you're familiar with this one. This was really, really common, is just even the rubbing two fingertips together and feeling the ridges on the fingertips. Is Shahzad Shamin is the author of Positive Intelligence.
Yep.
And he's got many practical approaches like this. And just that act, the brain science has shown, the MRI scans have shown, activates that part of the brain that is not the judging, not the self-sabotaging, fear-based, but is the conscious, you know, to put it simply, the conscious side of our brain, and starts to get it going, which brings us into more positive emotions, not a negative like fearing something, but positive. And being in a positive emotional state has been shown to just help us in so many ways throughout life, from relationships, because emotions are contagious.
Yes.
That's just something. If you come in angry into a conversation, it's going to spread through a crowd. You see mobs spread in that way. Emotions are contagious. If we can bring a positive emotion into our business relationships, into our pricing conversations, the other person is going to reciprocate. Just smiling, our brain mirrors what we see in the other person. We don't have to think about it. If you force yourself to smile, yes, the other person will automatically smile as well.
That's right. It's funny. I'll quickly share whenever, and Brad, I just noticed this. It's so weird because I know people laugh at this because I have such a big personality. I don't like being the center of attention. So like I'm turning 60 and my husband's like, oh, we're gonna do a party. Everybody, does she want a party? He's like, no, don't. You say it to her, her head's gonna explode, right? So it's so funny. But my husband and I'll be walking through a store and people look at me. So initially I thought, do I have a booger? Like, they're looking at me is, you know, do I have toilet paper? What is going on? And I realized, and even with the masks, because if I make, and I never thought about this, but I just want to comment on the smiling. Be pre-mask, pre-COVID, we'd walk through a store. If somebody would make eye contact with me, I would just smile and nod my head, like being, oh, nice to see you. Hello. Right. Just being gracious and you're another human. I'm smiling at you. And they would smile back, right? And no conversation, but then we'd keep going. Well, now we had the masks on and people were still looking at me. And so at first I thought, why are they looking at me? And I would look, and again, I would smile without realizing, but your eyes twinkle when you smile. And I would notice they would smile back. So it was just a fascinating exercise. Because again, I was very self-conscious, like, cause I'm also 5'11", I'm very tall. So people look at me because I'm like the Jolly Green Giant sister, right? Here's what I realize, I think, after doing some observation of why do they stare at me? I think it's because of my energy. Remember you said all of the senses? I have a really big energy zone. I do. I know. I do. And I try to reel it in sometimes when I'm on certain people. I've been told I exhaust people, which I appreciate. I appreciate that feedback. But I think that they feel, as I'm walking by them, I think they feel me. And I'm usually, I'm going to say 90% of the time, I'm in a happy mood. I love my life. I'm blessed. I'm grateful. All of those beautiful things. So I think they feel me. And I think we underestimate the power of when we're with our clients or anybody in our life, they feel our energy. They feel our emotional, whatever is going on. And you don't want to be the one that people go, oh, it's her again. She's a downer, because then you're never going to get business and all of those things. We have to really, this is such an important topic, Brad. We really have to do another, we're almost out of time, but we have to do another show. Again, I'm not putting, I don't mean to put you on the spot. The reason is I want to dig in with Shahrzad's training with the saboteurs, because, and a quick example, I'll just share mine. I'm a control. My number one, my number two is high achiever. I know you're shocked, Brad, but the control, this is what my controlling saboteur said. If you don't do it, no one else is going to do it. You better get out there and work harder, because if you don't control the world, problems are going to settle, which is a load of crap. Yep. Because I can't do everything alone. I'll drown. I'll burn out. There's many bad things that are going to happen, right?
Right. Right. Yeah. And I'm a hyperachiever, so I can also relate to that. And a pleaser, I'm on the other side of I'll bend over backwards till I break. And it is real fear-based sabotaging of ourselves, and which comes into play in the sales process, in the all aspects of life, pricing, everything. It's and what other thing hit me just about this? I know you want to revisit it later on, is just they're my strengths, actually, just taken too far. And it's just, it's fascinating to me on how that works, how our brains work. It's just fascinating. Yes.
And yesterday you were in my training and I talk about my communication style assessment, right? I offer it free in my show notes. And I always say to people, take it. It's free, right? It's another layer of information, because we have our natural superpowers. But if those superpowers, like the saboteurs, if the superpowers go unchecked, they actually become a blind spot and you're leaving, right? And I went through all the challenges of each of the styles, because sometimes I'm moving so fast. People have said to me, I can't spend any more time. You're exhausting me. So again, through the years, right, I've learned how to reel my energy in when I need to, and when I need to shine it to get people to they need my energy to rise them up, right? But you have to know how to control that. So all of these things we're talking about, if taken too far, can exhaust, hurt. You please too much, it's a detriment to you, because you're not honoring your boundaries. So we have to do just a whole show, I think, on the saboteurs, because it's such good tangible information. And I love the everybody, he was doing this with his fingers. Brad, I do that all the time, all day long. When I feel like I'm getting anxious, I do that. It refocuses you, because you have to think about the ridges on the fingers. I'm not thinking about that conversation, right? And or do that before I go into a meeting, because now I'm refocusing. Now the worry has been parked, because my energy, I'm controlling it because of that little action. So there's so many beautiful tools that Shahrzad recommends, but I do Positive Intelligence. What a brilliant, brilliant book. Really quick before we sign out, we'll do a show on this, guys, because I think you'll all love learning about the saboteurs. We all got them. And you really, once you understand it, you start seeing it where I'm like, oh, there's my judge or saboteur. Go away. I've got this. You're being mean. Go away. Right. I don't need you right now. So there's ways that we can control that once we are aware of it. Really quick, how can people learn more? Because I know you have some free cool stuff on your website.
Yeah. Yeah. People can learn more on the successbeyondluck.com website. I've got success tips out there. One of them is my 5 rules for pricing your services. It's just a short video. I put out a video every week, and just helpful tips to help you price your services. Stop leaving the table with so much money sitting there for other people to go into other people's pockets.
Absolutely. Brad, our brains explode, people, when you leave money on the table. That's not an acceptable response, especially because, and the other thing too, Brad, and we were talking about this before we started recording, I know what I deliver. I over-deliver. Brad over-delivers. So if you're leaving money on the table and someone is looking for a coach, right, a business coach or a sales coach or whatever it is, And because I didn't show up or I didn't articulate or my pricing was off, they're going somewhere else. Shame on us that we allow that to happen as business owners. So yeah, you know, that's one of my pet peeves, Brent. Again, successbeyondluck.com. Please take advantage of his wonderful free content. I will put that in the show notes. If you have a specific question for Brad, please go to his email, which is brad@successbeyondluck.com. Promise, guys, I will put that in the show notes for you as well. Brad, I love spending time with you. I always feel like I learned something. So thank you for being on. Thank you for what you're doing out there. It's funny. My older son, he's 25, and he and I talk about the universe a lot. And he will say to me, if I had a bad day or a rough day or whatever, things didn't go my way, and I'll be a little cranky, and he'll say, what's going on? And I'm like, I'm really tired. He said, stop saying that. The universe is hearing you and it's going to make you more tired. And I giggle, or I'm like, you know, I didn't like, and he goes, what did you like about it? The universe is listening. And I just, because I taught him that, and we can talk that way. And they took the saboteur's test, right? Sherzad's test. When you start talking from that same perspective, all of a sudden you support each other in a real loving way. Yes. And I also think we show more kindness when I know they're having a bad day. Don't say, oh, you're having a bad day. Stop being cranky. I approach them from, okay, the universe is paying attention. Tell me what's going on. Let's see if we could shift that energy, because you don't want to stay there too long. It's a whole different conversation. And I know you're really good at helping your clients kind of navigate, see it, but then navigate from that perspective, right?
It is. And the sooner you can get it, I mean, it is something I wish I knew much earlier in my life.
Me too.
Wish I would have had it.
Yeah.
Or 20 years ago.
Yeah. All of this new stuff coming out. You're just really on the cutting edge of all this, you know, neuroscience that's happening. So yeah, guys, please, if you're interested, just check Brad out, email him with a quick question just so that he can answer questions specifically. And again, successbeyondluck.com or brad@successbeyondluck.com, and take advantage of the free videos that he's offering. You might pick up a tip or two, apply it. Here's my thing though, Brad. Great. And you started with this information. It's out there. What we do with the information, that matters. So again, once you learn something and you put it on the shelf and you never go back there, you're not applying it, nothing's going to change in your life. So let's start applying some of these strategies, tips, ideas, my guests and I talk about, things that you're reading, whatever it is. Apply, apply, apply. So take some of the nuggets that Brad was kind enough to share with us. Start playing with them, right? And I always say, Brad, get curious, play, experiment. Yes. Don't force it, right? Experiment and play. And all of a sudden, you're going to find what's going to work for you. So again, please check out Beyond Success, Beyond. See, now I'm getting tongue-tied here. Success Beyond Luck. I was doing the flip-flop. Successbeyondluck.com. Again, take advantage of Brad's cool stuff. Thank you again, my friend, for being on and sharing time with me. I'm honored. Thank you all for joining us weekly as we question, build, and discover. Don't care where you are in your business. My guests and I really are here to provide some support and strategies as well, depending on what your needs are. So please, please take advantage of the show. Please take advantage of the websites, the free gifts, all of the things that my guests and I provide for you. Thank you again, Brad. Thank you all. You've been listening to Enlightenment of Change on webtalkradio.net with me, your host, Connie Whitman. I truly am honored to have you on this journey of change with me. And I hope that chain reaction. And that's when the magic starts happening. I want everyone to have magic in their life. Thanks, everybody. See you next week.